The second lesson is from John chapter 14, verses 23 to 31. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say that I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." This is the word of the Lord. Thursday night at the session meeting, these 17 confirmands were voted into the church pending this worship service. In preparation for meeting with the session, they prepared statements about their histories with the church and their statements of faith. Those were compiled, and we have them here, 33 pages of statements of faith and histories of the church. So today we are witness to their baptisms, to their youth and hopefulness, and in a few moments to their professions of faith. Over the course of the past year, in addition to many Sunday mornings, full Sunday evening fellowships, some embodied faith sessions with Annalise, a few hikes to the local Wawa, we've gathered for four Saturday evenings with Tyler, with Annalise, and Byron, and myself. Pizza at Nomads, a walk through Princeton, discussions on Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, from Matthew 6's, do not worry about tomorrow, Colossians 1, he has rescued us from the power of darkness, and Psalm 139, Lord, you have searched me and known me. Add to that some candy from the kiosk across the street, a few questions about growing up in the church, who do you say that he is? Three awesome leaders, a lot of good friends who have grown up running these hallways, and me, who watches in amazement as some basic ingredients give freedom, purpose, safety, and hope to another batch of confirmands. It is never routine, but there is, as Pastor Dave has said, a certain liturgy to it, a rhythm. A lot of trust that God will do what God has promised to do. How, after all, do you cause faith to sprout? How can 5 hours on a Saturday night turn into this? What do a few questions and some Nutella pizzas do to bring this about? 33 pages of confessions of faith and history with the church. The critics might call it social manipulation. The dubious might call it unreal. The sociologists of successful youth ministry might even call it a curious model warranting further research. I don't know, I suppose. But as one who is leading it, I can tell you we are trying hard not to be those things. So what is going on? Why does this seem to be working? Perhaps it has something to do with what we just read in John. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Father will send in my name and will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Perhaps God is doing something. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is using this space, this place, our times, a few bad rhymes, to draw us into a mind of faith, a life of spiritual comfort, a body of Christ. Mackenzie, you chime in. My favorite thing about the church is how welcomed I feel. I love whenever I attend our church or church-related activity, I feel welcomed and included by everyone. This makes me feel comfortable, like I belong in the church community. Wes, you concur. What Jesus taught about community is the reason I want to join the church. I love the community of the church. I've always loved the community of groups of various activities, from sports teams to just my closest friends, or especially the community from my old church. I want to be a part of this community for all the good times and good lessons it will bring. Adeline, you feel the same. Staying at home this past season was fantastic for a while, but Zoom just doesn't cut it. I found myself wanting to go to church. I missed the faces, the small talk, the donuts. It is because this stuff matters. It feeds you and sustains you. What might the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit be reminding and teaching us? Perhaps it is that we need more than the world can give. We need community and fellowship that revolves and reforms around Christ. Indeed, Jesus tells us in John, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Chloe, if I can pull from some of the things you wrote, after COVID hit, restaurants closed, schools were online, friends were distant, my life felt like it was missing a piece, church. God was sending me mixed signals. He was telling me that you were missing something, that my life isn't complete. Then things started to open back up. I got to see friends more often, eat at restaurants, and actually go to school. But I want to join the church because it fills that missing part in my life. It helps me feel whole. It fills that empty void. Perhaps much of the problem is that the world does not give. The world takes, says our neighbor's famous bridge. Perhaps that is not only true of Trenton. Is not the world often simply too much of a taker on our lives? It takes our hopes, our energies, our compassions, our time, our attentions, our anger, our families. It takes the lives of innocent shoppers at Top Grocery in Buffalo, those huddled under a steel factory in Mariupol, or those in a fellowship hall at Geneva Presbyterian Church, where a Taiwanese congregation gathered to celebrate a pastor of 21 years. The world takes. What are we left with? What remains to fill us up, to give us peace? Dominic, you say beautifully, "I believe that Jesus is, in a way, a form of God on earth, helping to guide us through life. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." This helps me out, knowing that there is a God to help me through the hardships and lends me his strength to get through my seemingly never-ending ocean. Because Jesus does give us guidance and comfort and direction that the world cannot give, yes, there is a peace in him. Yes, the church can give flying ice cream, some comfortable t-shirts, even stale goldfish, which seems to be an apparent favorite for a number of you. But if these things are going to give true life, lasting faith, and a deep spiritual hope, it is because Jesus is giving himself through them. Ian, you realize this when you say, "I walked down the hallway toward the offices and turned left into Niles Chapel. That room has an almost magical way of muting the sound from everywhere else as soon as you cross the threshold. That's exactly what happened to me that day. I think this was the first time I ever felt God speak to me. I felt him there. This is God's peace, Christ's peace. The world can't give it. And yes, this does make for some frustrating moments sometimes, because it's not under our control. Kelsey, you are honest about that frustration. I have prayed many times, whether that's to ask for things like health and protection, to give thanks, or simply just to talk to God. I have not always received the answers and responses I wish to receive from God. The lack of response began to bring questions like, is God really watching over me? Does God really care about me? These questions frustrated me. I know I wanted to believe in God, but is it something I can control? Jenna, at the beginning of the year, you wondered aloud, I guess I wish I was a little less skeptical about church. Obviously, I've spent a good portion of my life here, so what has it all been for? Have I gained anything? Looking back, you perceive, it was through Scripture that I truly started to understand the power of love. And Kelsey, looking back, you say, my confirmation journey has made me feel closer to God by memorizing certain passages or prayers, but over anything, it has made me closer to the family that surrounds me at church. And yes, Kelsey, give him a little elbow bump. You've got some good family right there. Pierre, in the face of the frustrations, you ask straight out. Faith is believing in something we can't see, something that many others consider us crazy for believing. So the question becomes, are we crazy? In response, you write a statement that would make Descartes or Thomas Aquinas proud. You reason, there is not nothing, there is something. Something needs to have a logic to it. Nothing needs no logic. I want to join the church because I know there is something in this world, that God and Jesus have created and preserved an amazing world for all of creation. Something I want to participate and thrive in. Something I want to help others participate and thrive in. Elizabeth, you grew up thriving in Newtown Presbyterian Church and are now here at Nassau. We are so happy to hear you, to have you here. Because after all, it is a dangerous world. And there's page 9. It is a dangerous world. Good to number your pages. Good to number your pages. So Elizabeth, we're glad to have you here. Because it's a dangerous world, you write in your statement, although I don't know why God had us in that accident, I believe he did it for a reason. Maybe a reason we will later find out, or maybe one we will never know. No matter what, I believe that God has a plan for all of us and for everyone. I prayed, God was there for all of us, and he made sure we were safe. Matt, you too have had that experience. Coming down a high hill, our tires started slipping. Our car started slipping. But we were able to swing back just enough to not fall into the ditch in front of us. God is always with us, even in stressful, dangerous times. Here again, the words of Jesus, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Adele, you give voice to the troubles we've all been through. When things are too hard to understand, or the fate of your future starts to crush you, you look to something or someone to guide and ease your worries. Over the past couple years, doubt and worry have been present with me, so knowing there's a being there to guide me is a beautiful thing. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. This has been with us this year. Cole, you recognize that. While I have been going through my confirmation retreats, I've realized how important faith is. Having faith to me is believing in God. I believe this because God will be there for us through thick and thin. Sometimes, Cole, it is just that straightforward. Sometimes, however, it's not. Caleb, like many of us, you write, a good comparison for the development of my faith would be a river. It ebbs and flows, twists and turns, sometimes even takes a step backward. But in the end, it always gets to where it's supposed to go. Nassau Church has been the current pushing me down my path, and for that, I'm eternally grateful. I look forward to taking the next step into the community by becoming confirmed. Isaiah, you want to jump in this river because you say you realize that Jesus is something I had to make my own, was someone I had to pursue by myself. And Adriana, this brings us to you. It's been a dynamic ride, and I'm not sure there is another student who has thought as hard about what all of this means as you. It's really awesome. From North Bay a bunch of years ago to today, you've been asking the hardest questions. Who's in charge up there? Why did God create this world? Are people predestined? Does God make mistakes? I think you've come to some answers, but you also have come to some community. You've come to the peace that the world does not give, to the Word who is not ours to control, to the mystery that reveals a Trinitarian love, which, as Isaiah says, just boggles the mind. So yes, to you, Adriana, to you, all the confirmands, to you, the whole people of God, if the Holy Spirit is comforting us, if God the Father has a plan, if it's Jesus who is giving us redemption and salvation, even going away and then coming back to show us the divine love, then God doesn't make mistakes. God makes believers, saints, faithful, sisters and brothers of Christ, inheritors of the kingdom, community, friends. God makes us all into the body of the church, the body of Christ. And God might even be doing something more clever than that. As I mentioned, the confirmands wrote these histories of faith and their statements, and I encourage them to include questions that they have. Peter, in yours, you wonder about the Bible. One smaller question I have is, will anything ever be added to the Bible? Will there ever be another story added to it in this time? Will there ever be another story or book added to the Bible in the future at all? Those are great questions, Peter. The Gospel of John, the last verse, it immediately comes to mind. The final verse of the Gospel of John. But there are many many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself would not contain the books that could be written. So Peter, yes, absolutely. Pop those in your Bible. They belong. Staple them, glue them, duct tape them. Even if there are some typos, these are not mistakes. They are the gospel according to Mackenzie, Wes, and Adeline, Chloe, Dominic, and Ian, Kelsey, Jenna, and Pierre, Elizabeth, Matt, and Adele, Cole, Caleb, Isaiah, Adriana, and Peter. And these, like the rest of Scripture, are witnesses to the living Christ. Amen.